The scripture reading for this evening's lesson is taken from Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8. So if you take your Bibles and turn to Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?
It is my privilege tonight to introduce our speaker. As Archie said, we've had three wonderful lessons, and I'm looking forward to another excellent, heartfelt lesson tonight. Our speaker tonight comes to us from as a minister of Centerville Church of Christ in Centerville, Ohio. Before going to Centerville, he was a minister for 17 years at the 10th and Vine Church of Christ in Ironton, Ohio. He attended David Lipscomb University in 1984 to 88 and currently serves on the board of trustees of the Fort Hill Christian Youth Camp and has co-managed a week of camp every summer for the last 24 years. He has held meetings and spoken on lectureships in Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, and West Virginia. He and his wife, Renee, have been married for 29 years and have three children, Kayla, Renee, Tyler, and Hope. Our Brother Todd's subject tonight is My Prayer Life. May I present to you Brother Todd Parsley.
I've already been warned tonight that I have to stay right here. They gave me the option to wear your headpiece that you wear. And I'll be honest with you, brother, that just seems too televangelist for me. I'll get paid back for that from him one of these days, I know. But I don't set very well. I don't stand in one place very well. So I'll do the best I can to stay right here for as long as I can until I get the opportunity to move. And no, Scott, I was just kidding. I'm just uncomfortable. I had to wear, when I was in high school, I had braces. And at night, I had to wear that contraption, you know, around your head. And they handed me that this morning and said, here, try this on. And it felt too much like my teeth were about to be pulled out because I thought, there you go. There you go. So if I wear that, I qualify for a higher grade of pay, right? Is that what it is? Good to see you. It's good to have you here tonight. It's good to be able to be back with you tonight as we continue on in our meeting and continue on in our topic of recovering our spiritual passion. And the one thing that we want to talk about tonight is the idea of our prayer life and how that can play a very important part in keeping us at a level in our relationship with God that we need to be. If you think about those verses that Dale read for us, and if you still have your Bible open and you go to that last verse in verse 8, and clearly if you turn there, you can see that this is the parable of the unjust judge. But I guess you could also say it's the parable of persistent prayer. I think it's interesting to note there, if you go to the very last verse, the question is posed that when the Lord comes, will he really find faith on earth? That's an interesting thought. Maybe a thought that many of us should ask ourselves a lot of time in our relationship with God. Will he find me faithful when he returns? the point of that in this lesson is, I think it's interesting that when you're talking about this parable and you're talking about this judge granting her her request because of her persistence in prayer, and then the question is posed, will the Lord find faith when he returns? That prayer and faithfulness do what? They go hand in hand. That if you're a person of great faith, you're going to be a person that prays. I think it just naturally fits. This evening, as we consider this subject, there are going to be some things that I want to mention to you from different scriptures. If you want to write them down, I'm not going to read all of them, but I will reference them as well. Brother Charles Hodge wrote a book that was entitled Prayer, the Voice of God. In that book, Brother Hodge makes the statement that I do not believe in prayer. Let me finish the comment. I do not believe in prayer. I believe in God. Therefore, I pray. He goes on to say in the book that prayer is power because God is God. And I think that when you put that in perspective of all the things that he writes in this book, that's a true statement. That we believe in prayer because we believe in God. And I'll be the first to tell you, there was a time in my life where I didn't really think that I knew how to pray. And if you study the topic of prayer, there's great comfort to us as Christians that when we get to a point in our life where maybe we don't know what to pray about. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to a spot where you're going through something horrible in your life or something good in your life, and maybe you just thought, well, I really don't know what to pray about. I really don't know how to pray for this. And the Bible says that to a Christian, when you come to that point, and here's the beauty of prayer, that the Spirit will intercede for us in our groanings. That He will make that connection between us and between God, and that prayer will be heard. And that he goes on in the book to say, Brother Hodge says, prayer works because God works. And as you think about the magnitude of what he is saying in this book and what the Bible talks about prayer, that we understand the greatness that is involved when we talk to God. And I hope that prayer is not something that you just give lip service to. I pray in my prayers that Christians develop a strong prayer life with God. Folks, prayer has gotten me more through things than I could ever count. You look back on your life and you say, well, how did I ever get through that? Or how did I ever have the strength to get through that? Well, I know as a Christian how I did, and that was because God got me through, and that's because I prayed about it. And that God answered my prayers. And the first thing that when we talk about prayer, we have to understand that prayer does move the hand that moves the world. And I believe that. Someone would ask the question, well, do you think we can change God's mind? Do you ever think that you have the capability of changing God's mind? Now, there are things that are doctrinally that He's given us that He's not going to change His mind on. You don't need to pray a prayer for somebody who's never obeyed the gospel that God will save them anyway. That's a useless prayer. God has given us the formula. God has given us the scriptures. God has given us His Son on the cross of Calvary. And He's given us the way of salvation. And He's not going to change His mind on that. But why do we pray for the sick? Why do we pray for the church? If prayer doesn't mean anything, and if God doesn't hear our prayers, and some people would say, I just don't believe prayer works. If you don't believe prayer works, why do you waste your time offering it? And if there are some people that will say a prayer, and in the back of their mind, they don't believe themselves that prayer is going to be answered. Why waste the breath? That is a prayer that is prayed in vain. And the word vain in the Scriptures means useless. It is useless before God. And there are so many people that get to a point in their life where they ask the question, does prayer really do any good? Brethren, I suggest to you tonight that prayer, the problem is not with prayer. That I believe the problem is with our understanding of prayer, our use of prayer, and our belief concerning prayer. Prayer, like any other subject in the Bible, is something that we learn about. And prayer is something that when you're talking about recovering your spiritual passion, if you want to maintain a passion for Christ, if you want to maintain a passion for doing the will of God, then you will maintain an active and lively prayer life with God. How many times do you pray a day? Some of you may answer that differently. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, a very short verse in the Bible, but the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. Paul wrote that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. In other words, in our language, that if we pray continually, we're fervent in our prayers, that it will do a lot of good in our life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? When was the last time that you set aside a day just to pray? Oh, we don't do that anymore. Well, why not? Why not? Why don't we set aside time to where in one day we're going to pray to God? Have you ever prayed for a week solid? You say, well, no, I had to eat. I had to do this. I had to do that. You know what I mean. Okay? That the Bible gives us that implication that there is a time in our lives that we need prayer more than ever before. I believe we need prayer always in our life. I believe that if you want to stay on top of the world and as close to the top as you can get on that mountain versus being in the bottom in the valley, that you'll spend a lot of your time in prayer. Now, I want to give you tonight about four things to help us understand how prayer can change us and mold us and give us that passion that we want. Here in Luke chapter 18, the first example is given to you that there is persistence, that persistence pays in prayer. You know, the example here is given that this unjust judge, I'm starting to walk away, sorry. This unjust judge finally gives in to her. Now, he's an unjust judge. He gives in for all the wrong reasons. He's tired of her bothering him. So to keep her from bothering me, I'll give her what she asked for. The lesson there is not so much in the unjust judge. The lesson there is in the persistence in asking. You know, it doesn't work. My kids thought that worked growing up when they were little. They thought the more we aggravate Dad, the more he's going to give in and let us do it. And maybe that works sometimes. I don't remember, or at least I selectively moved that from my memory. You know, if I aggravate Dad enough, he's going to give in. It's not talking about aggravation. It's making a request before God. It's making a request before God about something that we sincerely desire in our life. The Bible says you don't have it because you haven't asked for it. Do you believe that? And I believe that when you're talking about prayer, you need to understand this. If you don't think, and if you've got examples in your life where you don't think God is answering your prayers, stop and think for a moment. Maybe there's a reason God's not answering your prayers. And the Bible tells us very clear that the prayers of the righteous, get that part? He answers. God does not hear a sinner's prayer. Maybe if we take a deep look at our own life, and if we really feel like God is not answering our prayers, maybe we need to be more persistent in asking. Maybe we need to have a relationship to where we look deeply in ourselves and say, well, maybe the problem is not with God, the problem is with me. Because, brethren, you don't need to doubt for one moment that God does not hear and answer the prayers of the righteous. He does hear those prayers. The widow kept coming and coming to the judge. I will see that she gets what she wants because of her persistence. Can you wear God out in asking? You ever thought about that? You know, I can remember when I was a kid that I would aggravate my dad to the point where finally he would get upset. And he would say, I've had enough. And I knew that when I heard that tone from my dad, you all have heard that tone from your parent at one point. I knew when I heard that tone, it was time to stop asking. I don't see that in my relationship with God. God, in His holy word, tells us to ask. And brethren, how much do you believe that? If we believe that prayer moves the hand that controls the world, how much more should we pray? Prayer is not just a formal prayer in worship. That is prayer that we are called to partake of when we come together. That is something that we have been commanded to do as part of our corporal worship and our first day of the week assemblies or any time that we come together. But brethren, let me say this. If that is the only prayer that you have in your life, I'm not going to question your prayer life. I'm going to question your faith. Because faith is tied to this parable in the persistence of prayer. That if I have faith, I will pray. Do you get that? If I have faith, I will pray. And here we have that example for us in Luke chapter 18. You can turn to Acts chapter 6, and there in verses 1 through 4, we're given the example that church leaders, Scott, the elders, need to set the example for us in prayer. It says to give attention to prayers and the ministry of the word. That the leaders of the congregations throughout this world should be setting the example for us in prayer. And I'm not just talking about leading us in prayer up here. Have you ever come together as a congregation other than for a worship service and the sole reason you came together was to pray? You ever thought about that? How much more would we grow in our faith if we did that? And that's good to hear that you do that as a body of Christ. And I can remember some of the greatest events in my life growing up. And I grew up, again, like I said, growing up in the church, in a faithful family. I can't remember there not being a night of the week where we weren't driving somewhere to attend a meeting somewhere. Because back then, you didn't have gospel meetings just in the spring and in the fall. There were meetings that went on year round. And my dad and another man in the church felt like if there was a meeting within 2 hours, they were going to get in the car and they were going to go to that meeting. And I got drug along. That's how I felt then. But I can tell you what, I got drugged to some of the greatest gospel preachers and some of the greatest sermons that I've ever heard in my life. And they stayed with me, believe it or not. My dad kind of knew what he was doing, I think. But to come together for the sole purpose of praying. I can remember one time at Ironton. The elders decided that we were going to come together, and we were in the old small building, Dale, you remember that one. And we got in a circle around the auditorium, and everybody took a hand, and all the men in the congregation were given the opportunity to lead prayer. And I don't remember the specific event that we were praying for, but it was something that was of great importance, I know. And we came together and we prayed, and we were there almost an hour praying. And I remember leaving there feeling so on fire to pray. Let's be honest. How many of you have ever, hopefully you say a prayer before you go to bed, kind of simplistic, isn't it? We want our kids to say their prayers before they go to sleep. How many of you ever said your prayer before you went to sleep and fell asleep before you said amen? If we're all honest with ourselves, we've been at that point in our life. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Because you were committed into that prayer. And maybe you prayed so long you just fell asleep. Or maybe you were just so tired. But you made it an effort that you were going to pray. Now, how many of you have ever began to pray while you're in bed and you lost your train of thought because you were watching television? That's not okay. Because you're trying to do something and bring something holy before God. And that's what prayer is. It's bringing us in the presence of the Almighty God. Do you ever think about that? That Jesus being our mediator, that when we pray, you are going before the presence of the Almighty God through Jesus Christ, and He's hearing your prayers. That's our way to communicate to God, but you cannot pray with all of these distractions going on while you're praying. What's wrong with turning the television off for a few moments while you pray? I feel like if I fall asleep praying, I wake up all right in the morning, but there have been times where I left the television on, and in the middle of my prayer, something went on the television and I was directed towards it, and then I went back a moment later and said, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry. I couldn't stay focused long enough on you. I was drawn away into the world again." And we all can say that at some point in our life that we can admit that. We need church leaders throughout the brotherhood to set the precedence of the importance of prayer. I don't know if you all know this about Scott. And Scott, I don't know if you've told them about this or not, but Scott writes the curriculum for the senior high curriculum that we give out at camp that is used by over 1,000 kids every summer. Did you all know that Scott did that? I mean, what an undertaking. You know, he was sort of the new preacher onto the board, and we were looking for somebody to take that over, and he missed a meeting, and we kind of said, "Well, you know, he's not here." No, that wasn't the case. We knew that by doing that, we were putting it in good hands. And there is no question by some of the things that I read and some of the material that he passed out for the teachers to be able to use that this man doesn't believe in the power of prayer, because I know that he does. And knowing the eldership of this congregation, I know that you have leaders of this congregation that don't care in a moment to stop everything and say, "We need to pray." And them setting the example of their faithfulness in prayer is not only good for us in our spiritual relationship, but it's setting an example for all of you in this congregation. Brethren, if your children know nothing else about you, they ought to know, well, Mom and Daddy pray a lot. Or Grandma and Grandpa pray a lot. What a thing to be known for. That we set the example with everybody that we come in contact with about the necessity of leading in an active prayer life. Why have we had two prayers already in this service? Is it just because that's what we're supposed to do when we come together? Well, sure it is. But when it becomes ritualistic, and the words become a vain repetition, as the Bible would say, you need to throw it out because it's useless anyway. Prayer needs to come from deep inside, from the heart. This instrument that beats within us. You know, they say we don't use instruments in worship. I use an instrument in worship. When I sing, I use the instrument of my heart when I sing. When I pray, I use the instrument of my heart when I pray. And that God doesn't necessarily, you know, have to hear me, but He says, "I want to hear you." God knows my heart anyway. But He says, you need to ask. Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Do we access that in our lives daily, in our prayer life? He's saying, ask for it, seek for it, knock and the door will be open. And if I ask God, He's going to hear my prayer. And number three, we've already mentioned 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That I believe all Christians need to pay close attention to what's being talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in that list of things that are listed there, you come upon verse 17, and there it says to pray without ceasing. Romans chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible talks about to continue steadfastly in prayer to the Lord. Do you understand what those words mean? To continue steadfastly in prayer? To pray without ceasing. That means that we always pray. I love to pray when I'm driving. When I'm all alone and I'm traveling, I love to pray while I'm driving. Now, obviously that would tell you that when I'm driving, you hope I'm not bowed in prayer, eyes closed like we typically think we need to do in prayer. In prayer, if you go to the Bible and you look at the idea of God giving us Jesus, giving the example of how to pray, and it's so many times it's called the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. You know, is that a prayer that we can pray today? Most certainly it is a pattern for a prayer. Obviously, we cannot pray for the kingdom to come because the kingdom has already come and it's come with power. We find that in Matthew that the Lord says that if the kingdom, that there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom come with power. Brethren, if the kingdom isn't here, then show me that individual that was still alive when Jesus was teaching that. The kingdom is here and the kingdom is the church. But I like to pray when I'm driving because I'm focused, my mind is clear, and I just talk to God. Imagine that. What a novel idea that I can just talk to God. And don't think for a moment that in that prayer, in that just commonality of having a conversation with God, that I don't address Him as our Heavenly Father. He needs to be given the honor in which He deserves. And that He and we need to understand that we are given this great prayer through Jesus Christ. Why do you think we say, in Jesus' name, amen? Because if it wasn't for Jesus, then we don't have that avenue of prayer. How much do you pray? What's prayer mean to you? The last question that I give you. How can we recover? How can we restore our passion for prayer? I want to give you four very quickly. You say, oh no, four more points. We're going to be here all night. No, we're not. How can we recover our spiritual passion for prayer? Number one, to borrow a slogan from a sports company. I hate to do this. Just do it. Don had it. Just do it. You want to build prayer life? Just do it. Make it a priority in your life. Start talking to God. You want your life to be enriched and you want the blessings that are promised us in Scripture. Live a faithful life and start talking to God. Because He's promised to the faithful, I will hear your prayer and I will answer those prayers. So to recover, or even some of us to even start, is just do it. I believe a Christian ought to have a set time in their life where that's set aside for them to pray. You know, you think about prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. You know, we're not commanded to fast. You know, the example is there of fasting. And nobody should know when we are fasting, but it has a purpose. And I think prayer and fasting go hand in hand. You know, fasting is not just doing without food. There are different forms of fasting. To do without something for a period of time would fall under the category of fasting. And if you practice that, I think you could already tell me that the way to get through that is to take my mind off of it. I spend that time in prayer. There's the purpose of fasting and prayer. Did the apostles fast? Oh, yes. Did Jesus fast? Oh, yes. Should we fast? Well, that's up to you, but I think yes. Because it enriches our prayer life. So just do it. Number two, do it regularly. Prayer cannot be what's in the foyer out there. At least I think I saw one that says, in case of fire, break the glass and there you have access to the fire extinguisher. And I think a lot of us in our life, we go to prayer like that. That we, you know, we just move on with life and then all of a sudden something hits us and we feel like, oh, I got to pray now. And I'm not saying that's bad, that we know that we've got to go to prayer. What's bad is, why weren't we praying all along before that? That just maybe, we wouldn't be going through that if we had had an active prayer life going up to that point. Because I believe God hears my prayers. I believe God hears my prayers. Why, again, I go back to the idea, why do we pray for the sick if we don't believe God will hear our prayers? Now, here's the part about prayer. And here's the hard part about prayer. We went up a moment ago. You know, it's not, the problem's not with prayer. It's our understanding of prayer. It's our use of prayer. And it's our application of prayer. Though God hears all of our prayers and He answers all of our prayers, He doesn't answer them exactly the way we ask Him to. There's the hard part. Jesus, when He prayed, and the examples we have in Scripture, Jesus always said in prayer, "Thy will be done." I think, brethren, and this is just my recommendation, do with it what you want. I think when you pray that you try hard to say, "Thy will be done," and then move on in faith to be able to accept God's answer. Brethren, sometimes God's going to say yes. Sometimes God is going to say no. There are a lot of times I have found in my life that God said yes, but He said not now. And there have been times in my life to where God has said yes, but not like you think. And there comes in the idea of faith. There comes in the idea of hope. To know, yes, He does hear my prayer. And for me to do it regularly, at a set time, whenever. But give me the strength, dear Father, to accept Thy will. Number three, in bringing our passion back in our prayer life, is that we do it in faith. We do it in faith. And let me go back to where we started just a moment ago, that I think faith, from what we read there in Luke chapter 18, that faith and prayer go hand in hand. You show me a man or a woman who's praying actively, I'll show you somebody that has great faith. Now, I know there are other measuring sticks with faith, but let me tell you what, those two go hand in hand, and the writer in Luke tells us that it goes hand in hand. You show me somebody that's got great faith, and I'll probably be able to show you somebody that spends a lot of time in prayer. I'm not talking about superficial seeing faith. I'm talking about deep down, hard to determine faith, that when you're at the lowest point in your life, you don't get discouraged, because you know that through your faith that you're going to see through this. And that God's going to get you through this, and you have faith in that. And because of that, you can pray more fervently in your prayers. Rather than the greatest example we have of prayer is Jesus Christ. And the thing that I like to go to and read sometimes when I feel like my prayer life is suffering, and we all do, don't we? You know, when things are going really good in our life, it seems that the thing that gets pushed out first is prayer. We've all been there. I've been there. When I feel like my prayer life is not what it should be, I go to the Bible and I read the account where Jesus goes into the garden and there He's praying about what's getting ready to happen to Him. And the Bible and the writers of the Bible giving us descriptive language so that we could see the picture, say that He prayed so intense that His sweat drops were like blood. Have you ever prayed that hard? Really? Ask yourself that. Have I ever prayed that hard? Have I ever been that intense in prayer to where I blocked out everything in the world and all I focused on was me and God, and God, please hear my prayer. Now you can say what you want to. Jesus knew He had to go to the cross. And you can go on and read the Bible, and the Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. But the human side of Jesus, when He's there in the garden, was in agony over what He was getting ready to have to go through. And you think about that sometimes. When you think about your faith wavering a little bit. When you think about the idea that I don't need to pray as much now as I used to. You go back and you see him in the garden and you see how he was suffering mentally and spiritually for what he was getting ready to have to go through. And if our Lord and Savior needed to go and talk to the Father in prayer to endure the cross, how much more do we as Christians need to go to God just to get through this life? You see the importance? He set it with a great example. The last one that I give you. Things that we can do to recover our spiritual passion for prayer. Do it specifically. Do it specifically. Tell God what you want. When you pray for people, call them by name. It's encouraging to me that when I ask for prayer that I know that there'll be hundreds of people will say my name in the presence of the Almighty God. Be specific in your prayer. When you pray for people, call them by name. When you pray for specific needs, I believe that in our private life, just don't use that ritualistic, you know, repetitive thing of saying, God, you know what I need. Yes, He does. Without question. He knows what we need long before we even know what we need. But He says, ask for it. You've got a specific need, then you pray for that specific need. You name that specific need and take that in the presence of God. Remember what we said? He says, you have not because you ask not. Don't speak in generalities. Be specific in your prayer. And in doing so, we can restore the passion in our prayer life. The last verse is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. The verse that Don quoted for us this morning in Bible class. It says, be anxious for nothing. The word anxious there is rendered, don't worry. Any worriers here? Confession time. Any worriers here? If you're a worrier, raise your hand. I'm a worrier. But there are certain things that I don't worry about. Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount that as a Christian, it's wrong to worry about physical needs. Don't worry about food. Clothing and shelter. If you are faithful, then all of these things will be added unto you. But here, Paul writes to the Philippians there in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer, right? And supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Write that verse down. Highlight that verse in your Bible. Read that verse to yourself every day. Don't worry about anything. Instead of worrying, let your request be made known to God. There's your formula for worry. There's your formula for getting through a bad day. There's your formula for restoring the passion that we need in our prayer life every day that we live. We're going to sing the invitation song that brothers picked up for us tonight. We sing that to encourage people. That's not a time that we stand up here in judgment of anyone. It's not about our judgment. It's about us loving you. And it's about you being right with God. And if you're here tonight, you've never obeyed the gospel. And you're not a Christian. Unless you're actively searching for God, God does not hear the sinner's prayer. And I think we need to teach that, brethren. That's a hard lesson, but I think it's a lesson that needs to be taught. Unless you're seeking God, truly seeking God and studying in the Word, honestly, sincerely trying to find God, if you're living an unrighteous life and you walk into this building one day a week and then you go back living in the world a sinner, God does not hear that prayer because you're not living a life of faith. And faith and prayer go hand in hand. So if we can help you tonight, we want to do that. If you've never obeyed the gospel, man, what a great opportunity. We'd love to take your confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We'd love for you to repent of the sins that you have in your life and to turn and to dedicate your life to serving God. And I know that Scott would love, or one of these men here would love, to immerse you in the watery grave of baptism, to die to the life of sin, to be resurrected that new creation that we talked about this morning. A new creature. All of those sins are gone. They're washed away. And brethren, I love what the Bible says. Not only does He forgive, He forgets. If you need to do that tonight, won't you come?